Say good evening again. Dustin has asked that we read from 1 John, the first chapter, first 10 verses. First John 1, 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
I can say greetings in Jesus' name again here this evening. For those of you who are here this morning, in case we could put up with me again here tonight. I appreciate all that have made an effort to come out here tonight. It's a blessing to see each one that has come here this evening. It shows me you have a desire to come and to learn and to look into God's Word. I appreciate how far front you're sitting as well. It's good to see where you're at here. I can look right into your eyes. As we went through the topic of repentance this morning, I appreciate your bearing with me there a little bit. I thought I told Glenn as we were sitting up here, I thought I had that all worked out as I went through that in my study, that story. But sometimes certain things hit you different ways. And the blessing of the memories that we hold in with our loved ones is such a blessing to look back on. Some people don't have that blessing of the memories they do have aren't good. And when they look back and they can't appreciate that. But we have many good memories that we like to think about from time to time. And sometimes they just touch our hearts. So I appreciate you bearing with me here this morning. So as we looked at repentance this morning, we looked at the definition of repentance. We looked at repentance involves a profound change of mind, heart, and direction. We also looked at that it goes much deeper than that. It goes beyond just a change of mind, heart, and direction. It must be a turning towards God. Our direction, the direction we are going, must follow or align with the direction of God. Our mind and heart must agree with the mind and heart of God. And there, toward the end of the sermon this morning, or the message, we looked at a few thoughts from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We're going to look a little closer there at 1 John here this evening, especially verses 6 and 7. It's a related topic, I would say, to repentance. I'd like to look at it as we keep repentance in the back of our mind as we go through the message this evening, thinking about the blessing that it is to be able to confess our faults and sins to God. what a blessing that actually is, that God made a way for us to be able to walk in fellowship with Him and give us the blessing to be able to repent of our sins. So that's the idea behind this. So it's a related topic. As we go through, especially verses 6 and 7 there, again, I would like to consider the blessing it is to have our sins forgiven. We also like to look at the difference between walking in darkness. John refers to that there. Walking in the darkness and walking in the light. And as we go through the message here this evening, many of the thoughts that I share with you are not original with me, whatever that means, but I do appreciate them very much as I read through them, and I determined what to share them with you. And so as we look at the first epistle of John here, there's a few things we want to note. What audience was John writing to here in this first epistle? Who was he writing to? As we read the first epistle of John there, we notice that there's no greeting. John doesn't open up with a greeting of whom he is writing to. There's also, if we continue to read through that epistle, there's no farewell at the end. And as we read through the epistle, there's no personal reference there to give us a clue of who he's writing to. So there's no greeting, there's no farewell, and there's no personal reference there to give us any kind of idea who he's writing to. And that in itself could be looked at as a wonderful blessing, because each local church, as they read this first epistle of John, could feel like John wrote this directly to them. And I think we can do that as well. John, as he wrote this through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, really did not give us a greeting to anybody specific. It's for whoever can read it and apply it to their lives, their church. There is some debate on when 1 John was actually written. The thought is that all three epistles there were written about the same time. Tradition says that all three epistles were written from Ephesus, where John pastored during the later years of his life. That's what tradition says. As John begins his first epistle here, I believe we could sum up the first five verses as the great testimony of John, that the Son of God has come to earth. God's only Son has come to earth. We have just come through the Christmas season. And think of the excitement that is around the Christmas season. We have the angels declaring that the Son of God has come to earth. We have the excitement of the shepherds as they went to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. We read how the wise men were excited as they followed the star to follow this, to find this new king. And here in the first epistle of John, through the first five verses, he declares that the Son of God has come to earth. And as we read through that first chapter there, we see the reason that Jesus came. And then we also see why Jesus is rejected by so many. As we read through verses 6 and 7 there, I'm just going to read them quickly. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We see this misconception of man here in verse 6. And that misconception is, we'll get to that just a little bit later here. No, I'm sorry, here it is. I thought I had it a little bit later in my notes. The misconception is that man can fellowship with God and still walk in sin. The misconception of man is he can walk with God and still be in fellowship with God and still be in sin. As we mentioned before, John begins his epistle, and his emphasis is that the Son of God has come to earth. Why did God's Son come to earth? Why did God send His only Son to this sin-cursed earth? We could give different reasons. But Jesus Christ came to earth to restore what was lost in the garden. We see sin caused a separation between God and man there in the garden. We read of how Jesus Or God came to the garden and walked with Adam there in sweet fellowship, then they communed one with another. And once sin happened, that was cut off. They were exiled from the garden. The curse, it was a curse came upon the earth. And so sin caused a separation between God and man. And so Jesus Christ coming to earth is to restore the lost fellowship that was between God and man there in the garden, to restore what was lost. I'm going to read a quote here from the commentary I was reading out of, and it was interesting to me. And so just in thinking of God, Jesus Christ coming to restore what was lost, and I quote, "But mankind cries out, we already have fellowship with God. We already worship God and feel safe and acceptable in our religion. We do not need someone else to show us how to become acceptable to God. We can reach God on our own. We can secure His approval by ourselves. We don't need someone else telling us how to approach God and how we should worship God and secure His approval." We see mankind as a whole rejecting John's declaration that the Son of God has come to earth. Even the Jews, as we read through the New Testament there, the Jews as a whole reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Even after all the prophecies, as we read through the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Messiah coming, after Daniel there in Daniel chapter 9 gives a timeline of when Messiah will come. Even after all this, God's own chosen people reject Him as a whole. They reject His Son. And that rejection mostly, if not entirely, centers around Jesus' claim as the Son of God. Jesus claimed that He was the Son of God. Why is it so difficult for man to accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? Why do they have such a problem with that? One of the main reasons that man has such a problem with Jesus Christ as the Son of God is the very reason that Jesus came to earth. As we mentioned before, so man could have true fellowship with God. But man rejects this idea of God's Son coming because man objects to the idea of needing help to reach God. Man feels sufficient within himself and rejects the idea that he cannot come to God on his own. I do not need help to reach God. I can do it on my own. And so if Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God, I'm going to reject Him because I don't need that. I can get to God on my own. That's the thought. And so John addresses this in verses 6 and 7 here, this misconception that we'd like to look at, that man can fellowship with God and still walk in sin. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What's John actually saying here? What's John saying in this verse? He's saying if we say we are fellowshipping with God, and at the same time we're walking in darkness, we're lying. We're deceiving ourselves. We're a liar and do not the truth. And so if we break that verse apart a little further, what does it mean to walk in darkness? It's interesting to me, if we turn back to the Gospel of John, John in his Gospel mentions something along the same lines. If we turn back to John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And we know that if we read the first four verses there in the Gospel of John, John is talking about Jesus Christ Himself. I better just turn back to that. If I try to do it by memory, I'm going to mess something up. Talks about the Word being with God, and the Word was God. The first John chapter 1, not first John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Speaking of Jesus Christ, we know that. We understand that. And so, Jesus is the light. He's shining into the darkness, and the darkness is not comprehending it or not overcoming it. If we look in the ESV, another translation, it says it this way. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And so between these two translations, we get a fuller picture of what John's actually saying here. If we look at not comprehending, it would, in my mind, it would lean towards not understanding, not a full understanding. You don't comprehend something, you don't understand it. And in the other one, it's not overcoming. And to me, that would lean towards a conflict. There's a conflict or a clash between the light and the darkness. And so let's take a quick look at both of those there. Was Jesus, as he walked this earth through his earthly ministry, was he misunderstood? Are there those today who still misunderstand or don't completely understand who Jesus is and what he can do for them? Was there a conflict between the light, Jesus Christ, as he walked this earth, and the darkness, or the rulers of the earth, when he preached and taught? Was there a conflict there? Is there still a conflict between Jesus and the world today? And so if we're honest, I believe we have to answer yes to each of these questions. Jesus is the light. He cannot be overcome by the darkness of the world. There's a conflict there. And there's also a misunderstanding, not a full comprehension of what Jesus is. And so back to the original question, what does it mean to walk in darkness? If we apply what we just read there in the Gospel of John, verse 5, it would mean that there's a misunderstanding or a misconception of God or of God by man. And so I asked another question. Is it possible for the creature to fully understand the Creator? Can we as humans fully understand God? No, we cannot. Man cannot see God. He cannot talk face to face with God. Man cannot hear or touch God. And I want us to just hang with me here as we go through this. We're just making a point. How can man know that God really exists? Man in his world is in the dark about God. Man does not know how God wants him to live. Man does not know how to be moral or pure, to be righteous or just. Man cannot talk with God. He has no way to communicate with God. Now just hang with me here. Man cannot see God. He does not know where to find God. The world is in the dark about God. When it comes to God, man is in darkness. You see, man is physical. We have physical sense, we have and flesh, and we can only know the physical and material world. If there is a God, it would be a spiritual world, and man, through his own power, has no ability whatsoever to penetrate that spiritual world. Even with all the technology and science, even with his intellect and creative reasoning, man will never be able to penetrate the spiritual world. You see, the physical world cannot and never will be able to cross over into the spiritual world. No matter what a person claims, no matter how religious or spiritual, no person from the physical world can cross over into the spiritual world to find out if God exists, let alone have fellowship with him. How then can man ever know or even fellowship with God? And there's only one way. There's only one way for man to have true fellowship with God, and that is God has to leave the spiritual world and dimension and enter the physical world. God had to come to earth and reveal himself to us. And this is the only way man can ever have fellowship with God. And this is the glorious gospel that John declares here in the first five verses, that God has sent his only Son to earth. God's Son has come to earth. But man still thinks that he can find God on his own, that he can relate to God somehow and be good enough to gain God's approval, that he can use his mind and his reasoning to find out about God and become acceptable and fellowship with God. Man believes that he can use his own hands, his energy, and do enough to please God. And this idea or this belief is, if I believe in God and I do what's right, then my belief and my good deeds will put God in debt to me. And God will never reject me. That's the idea behind man. And if that's the case, if I can somehow by my own power come to God, find God on my own, then I can reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Because my own belief and good deeds can be accepted by God and have fellowship with Him. I don't need Jesus Christ to find God. That's a misconception of man. Scripture is very clear, and it states that if we say these things, we deceive ourselves. We're a liar. John says it very clearly here. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we are a liar. We deceive ourselves. Our approach to God, we're deceiving ourselves. By taking any other approach to God other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, man fools himself. Nothing I can ever do on my own will give me the ability to approach God. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, there are two choices. And each of the choices that we have are in conflict one with another. We can choose to live in the light through Jesus Christ, or we can live in the darkness of this world. And if we do not choose the light, which is the blessing that God has offered to us, the forgiveness of sins and restored fellowship through His only Son, if we don't choose the light, then we by default choose the other, and we're walking in darkness. Just a few scriptures that kind of point to the points we were making there. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Psalms 82:5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. In Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble, at what they stumble. And so Scripture makes it very clear, we cannot fellowship with God and walk in darkness. We cannot walk with God or have fellowship with God and continue to walk in darkness. And so as we move on to the next verse there, John explains that it is possible to have fellowship with God. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And here's the contrast from the previous verse. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we're liars. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we can have fellowship together. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. We see that man cannot fellowship with God and walk in darkness. The truth is that man must walk in the light if he is to have fellowship with God. And so what is the light of God? We looked at what darkness was. What is the light of God? If we're to walk in light, what does that mean? What is the light of God? The light of God could be described mostly as the very revelation of God Himself. Jesus Christ came to earth to reveal God to us. Jesus Christ, he had the very nature of God. Therefore, He was able to show us exactly what God was like. Remember when Philip Philip comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. Remember Jesus' response there. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? We see there that Jesus had the very nature of God. He is able to show us exactly what God is like. The light of God could also be the revelation of just how God wants us to live while we are here upon this earth. When Jesus came, He told us and showed us exactly how to live, exactly what God expects of us. And so to walk in light would be to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came to earth, and to follow Him. That's walking in the light. If we walk upon the earth believing in Jesus Christ and doing exactly what He said to do, then we are in the light, just as He was in the light, just exactly like this verse says. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. Two things happen when we walk in the light. The first thing we look at there is we can have fellowship with God. Just like verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When we walk in the light, we enjoy fellowship, first of all, with Christ. We can enjoy fellowship with God Himself and with other believers who are walking in the light. What a blessing. As we look at the example of Jesus Christ when He came to earth, we see a constant fellowship between Him and the Father. There was constant fellowship with God and Jesus Christ. He has given us, Jesus Christ Himself has given us an example of how to walk in the light and fellowship with God. And just a quick side note about God and light. God is light, and there's no darkness at Him, no darkness at all found in Him. And that's 1 John 1:5, the very previous verse there. And as we think of God and light, I don't know if there'd be too many people that would deny what this says, that God is light, that there's no darkness at all found in Him. We see a pure, righteous, holy God where there's no darkness at all. And the question then is it possible to walk both in light and darkness at the same time? And we know it's not. We cannot walk in darkness and light at the same time. It's either one or the other. And so if we're walking in darkness, we're not walking with God. It's impossible. The second point we'd like to look at, the first one was if we're walking in the light, we can have fellowship with God. The second one is if we're walking in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You see, it wasn't just enough for God's Son to come to earth and to reveal God to us. We see man is sinful. We read that. Man is sinful. We're born with a sin nature. We chose to do our own thing. We talked about that a little bit this morning. It's like the song says, I think it's 693, A Child of the King. It says somewhere in there, it's a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. We're a sinner by choice. When we don't choose God's way, we are by default choosing the other. Man is a sinner. We are guilty of offending God and transgressing God's law. And so it's just like any other law. When a law is broken, the penalty has to be paid. The lawbreaker has to pay the penalty. Or someone else has to step up and pay the penalty for him. And we see this is exactly what Jesus did. Not only did Jesus reveal God to us, He came to take our sins and our transgressions upon Himself. Jesus came and died for my sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. Jesus, through His death and the shedding of his blood satisfied God's judgment and wrath on my behalf. And so walking in the light, when we walk in the light, it also means that we believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And I believe that when he died for me, that his blood has cleansed me from my sins. That's walking in the light. And when we walk in the light, we believe that Jesus actually paid the penalty for our sins. We are now free from the guilt of those sins. When we walk in the light, God sees our sins covered by the blood of his own Son. Think what that is mind-boggling to me. God sees us covered by the blood of Jesus Christ as sinless. He accepts us in Christ. God himself accepts us in Christ, and he forgives our sins because of the blood of his Son. What a thought. One last thing we'd like to look at here this evening. As we read the last part of John, 1 John there, verse 7, I'd like us to take special note to the word cleanseth. This morning in our Sunday school class, Cole mentioned the different tenses in English. Recently, my children, I think I've been going through some of that, the different tenses of words and phrases, past tense, present tense, future tense. And we say things differently when we're talking about last week, next week, or right now. As we take a closer look at the end of this verse, cleanseth us from all sin, the way it's worded here, it's in the present tense. And it gives us a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleansing us from our sins. If we're walking in the light of Christ, then his blood is always cleansing us from our sins. It's a continual thing. If we're walking in the light, then we're fellowshipping with Christ. We are in a relationship of a constant confessing of our sins. It's an open book to God if we're walking in the light. We have fellowship with him. We're living in an open confession before him. We as believers are to walk in fellowship with Christ all day, every day. It's a continued thing. It's not just, I'm in fellowship now, and now I can do my own thing, back and forth. We're to be in fellowship with God every minute of every day. The believer who walks in fellowship with Christ like this is being constantly cleansed by the blood of Christ. And this is a point, there's another point that's often missed by man. If we think of our sin and it being cleansed, even if I come to the realization that I'm a sinner and I can do everything from here on out to perfection to get to God, how can I change my past sins? Man cannot go back and erase past sins, sins that happened in the past. He has no way to pay the penalty and judgment for his past sins. Sins that have already been committed have a penalty that must be paid. And the only acceptable payment for sin is a perfect payment. God demands a perfect sacrifice because God himself is perfect. And this is a terrible problem for man because no one is perfect but God. We can do everything possible to try to bring a sacrifice to God, and it will never be good enough because God is perfect. And just one sin in my past puts me at unperfection. It mars me. And so I cannot come before God on my own. And so how can man ever offer the perfect sacrifice? And this is another reason that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth. Just like God, God's Son is perfect. Jesus came to sacrifice himself for man. Jesus had to take man's sin upon himself and become man's substitute in death. It is only through his death the sacrifice of the blood of the Son of God, that our sins can be covered and taken away. That is the only way. No person will ever be acceptable to God unless he is free from sin. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can find that freedom from sin. A few verses here in closing. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians, I don't have the chapter and verse. In Colossians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, almost identical to Ephesians there. And then 1 Peter 1:18-19 is fairly familiar. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as gold and silver from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There Peter describes the perfect blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins. May God bless each of you as you walk in the light and experience the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Let's kneel for prayer.